Hello, welcome to the Horror House Podcast. I'm Dave.
I am Chris. This week in the Horror House, we're skipping the movies and we're going to real life. And we are talking about probably one of our most popular topics. We're going UFOs / UAPs, but we're going a little bit more current, a little bit more modern.
Dave. We're leaving Betty and Barney Hill in the past. We're leaving the Pascagoula incident in the past.
We're going to talk a lot about current governmental things that are coming out. But before we get into that, Dave, you have something that's going to lead us into the promised land, to now, with what's going on.
Let's open up with just a little bit of a UFO timeline, and let's stick to what is considered by most people, aka me, to be the modern UFO timeline, starting in June of 1947. No, not Roswell. Nope. The Kenneth Arnold sighting really kicked off the birth of the modern UFO era. Kenneth Arnold, being an Air Force pilot, saw 9 shiny objects flying around Mount Rainier, Washington. And I was able to find this out, there was 2 separate ground corroborations. Oh. He estimated the speed. His report, the report at the time said 1,200 miles per hour, which was about 100 or so miles per hour faster than the current airspeed record at the time. But I did find that he had some notes, and his actual estimation of the speed of the objects was 1,700 miles per hour, which was significantly faster than any known airspeed craft at the time, but he lowered that because he was afraid he would really sound like a kook if he said 1,700 miles per hour.
Right.
So, and really, it's just 13 days later, Roswell incident.
Wow.
So, I don't think we need to go into Roswell too much. Although at some point maybe we will.
A deep dive.
But everyone, if you live in the United States, you know about.
Oh, yeah.
July 19th and 20th, 1952. The Washington Flap. In Washington, D.C., the Washington, greater Washington, D.C. area, multiple radar signatures and some on-the-ground eyewitness corroborations. And it was enough that this actually led to the first ever congressional hearings about UFOs. Okay. Jumping ahead to the first well-known abduction, we have September of 1961. Betty and Barney Hill, folks, we've talked about them on the show here.
Betty and Barney.
Big time event.
Yes.
In the world of UFO research. November of 1967, the Sag Harbor incident, a craft descended at a high rate of speed into the Sag Harbor near Nova Scotia, Canada, and this prompted a Canadian military investigation.
Which is interesting that it went into the harbor, because I feel like I want to say, I don't know which episode we talked about it, but the ocean and UFOs have kind of a thing going together.
Yeah, these craft seem to be able to navigate air, water equally well. I really thought was kind of a modern addition to UFO lore. But here we have 1967. This is kind of seen and going on. December of 1980, Rendlesham Forest incident outside of Rendlesham Royal Air Force Base. You had lights. You had a craft seen in the forest. it left some very famous impressions of the ground, footprints, if you will, of the craft. And this is widely known as Britain's Roswell. Jumping all the way ahead to 1997 with the Phoenix Lights.
Phoenix Lights.
So, man. Not one, not two, not a dozen witnesses. Thousands of people reported seeing something, a myriad of something. Going on, you have the USS Nimitz encounter, which is where we get the infamous Tic Tac videos. And this is the first time that the postmodern, the after leaving the 50s and 60s and the new science era behind, this is the first time you have, military, naval acknowledgement that something is going on that we don't know about, and that kind of an admission that our military is insufficient to do anything about these things if they really did mean harm.
Yeah.
December of 2017, New York Times releases prints of several articles revealing the existence of ATIP. Department of Defense reveals more videos in an attempt to get out in front of things. And this is about the time that Congress authorizes military personnel to, if you are in an NDA, you can tell what you've seen without fear of retaliation, which ultimately leads to just June 2023, David Grush coming forward to major news outlets and says, yes, I have a storied military Air Force history. I'm a decorated intelligence officer, and I have multiple reports that the United States and other countries have retrieved downed aircraft and possibly the bodies of some non-human entities.
Yes.
Did you get to see much of the actual interview, Chris?
I didn't know that there was footage of the interview. I just read.
Okay. Some of it is very interesting. I know we're going to get into that here, but some of it is really interesting. Some of the terminology he is, to me, maybe being overlooked a little bit. Like he makes a point to say things in a certain way that I think is being overlooked. But man, this has been a crazy couple of years for, quote unquote UFO researchers, I do not consider myself, just typing away on the internet and watching YouTube, and
we're podcast like enthusiasts at best, but
yes,
we're entertainers,
definitely enthusiastic about things. I did find a guy, Chris, Gary Nolan. Now, Gary is a tenured professor at Stanford University.
Okay.
And he has written several peer-reviewed articles in which he describes working with extraterrestrial materials.
Okay.
And it kind of blows my mind. I mean, this guy is not retired. He's not, outside of academia. He's not claiming to be in academia or claiming to have been in academia, and you can't really, place him there.
Mm-hmm.
I looked him up. I looked up on the Stanford University website, and Stanford is one of the prestigious science schools in the country. And he's right there. So, man, just really cool that he is kind of talking about this and writing, like I said, peer-reviewed articles. Neat stuff. So that's the end of my timeline I put together.
So let's hit a break. We'll come back and we will get into all sorts of modern day UAP kind of discussion. This is just the tip of the iceberg. Literally what we're going to say.
The A-tip of the iceberg.
An A-tip. But we will be right back. We are back, and it is time to get into this UFO stuff. We're going to start talking about a little bit Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick, and it's going to lead us into a lot of other stuff. And we've kind of reached what I think is kind of that almost impossible point, Dave, of the U.S. government confessing that they know something about extraterrestrial stuff, whether it's UAPs or life or something. Like they're starting to let little things out to where you're like, is this real life? Like you couldn't have imagined them doing stuff like right. this 20 years ago, 30 years ago, certainly not earlier than that.
Right. I mean, Project Bluebeam was basically an attempt to hide everything they knew. But hide it publicly, like, oh, we're gonna do this, we're gonna collect all these things. And then they, you know, left out stories, a lot of the stories, a lot of the sightings that could be explained, and then they really stretched themselves in knots to try to explain things.
And now we have literal agencies in the government that is now their positions to investigate these UAPs and these kind of events and sightings. With that though, comes security clearances for that, which is a problem for Arrow, the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, which Dr. Kirkpatrick is the director of, and he testified in front of the Senate Armed Services Committee over the concerns of these UAPs and stuff and the sightings and potentially homeland threats that these could pose.
Speaking of threats, did you see his like official picture with the goatee? And yes. He's a doctor, Dr. Kirkpatrick, of an agency called Arrow. He is basically a Marvel villain.
Yeah. I don't know. He's got some gray hair in the hearing, so I feel like he's on our side. The gray hair shows like he's working. If it was super dyed in the hearings, then we'd have to worry. I think he's on our side. But that said, he's also, you know, like I said, testified. He stated that his office hasn't seen evidence of Russia or Chinese being the ones behind recent objects, but that concerning indicators, air quotes, that foreign capabilities could be at play. And are these capabilities that could be employed against us in both intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, and a weapons fashion? He says, absolutely. Do I have evidence that they're doing it in these cases? No, but I have concerning indicators.
So
that goes beyond just, yeah. I feel like, because we'll get into the Gru stuff, and this kind of will lead us in there, but concerning indicators, to me, you know, with intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, and a potential weapons fashion, these things, when you bring in what David Grush says, a whistleblower, Pentagon whistleblower, and what he says, that may, to me, be concerning, especially when Kirkpatrick is saying, I have concerning indicators. So let's now pivot and stay in the U.S. government. We're talking about whistleblower David Grush, who very recently came out and has laid the hammer down, essentially. And a lot of people have, I mean, they've stayed quiet on their personal identities because this is dangerous shit, a lot of this, to your career and to your personal life, to come out with some of this information. But there are people, and some have testified in his defense about what he said. Dave, let's get into it.
So June 2023, he comes out, he basically says the United States and other countries,
yes,
are basically in an arms race collecting crashed extraterrestrial craft. He talks about the possibility of bodies. He makes a very important distinction, I feel like, in the interview, the big one where he first came out. And it's like a small news thing, you know, not quite Newsmax level, although like Newsmax has really picked this up. Because like the conservative anti-government mindset, really this kind of plays well of the government is hiding this secret from you. Right. Apparently he shopped it around, and two Pulitzer Prize winning reporters, helped him and mm-hmm. tried to get his story out, and nobody would pick it up.
Right.
And so it really felt more like it was the stigma than it was like the government cracking down on anybody.
Right.
You know, if for a long time, if you were a serious academic, you talked about, you know, aliens, that's enough right there to get you laughed out of academia.
Yeah, and I mean, he's not the first ranking official to come out with information. And where did those go? You know, obviously, whenever, you know, somebody like Grush comes out, it's like, oh shit, is this the big one? And I don't know, this one has some more information that, I don't know, hopefully this means more, but let's be honest, it's not the first time this has happened. So I can understand the stigma of that, of those reporters, to a degree, at least. But, I mean, especially with what's went down since, been 2 years or 3 years since they've kind of admitted that there's stuff going on with these UAPs that we honestly don't know for sure what's going on.
And really opened the floodgates by allowing servicemen and women to talk about their experiences.
Yeah.
And even if you just doing that for military service members, opens the door for civilian pilots and stuff to speak out. And so you have seen more of that stuff come out. Did you see the video of the orb that was floating over it was in the Middle East somewhere?
I think so.
We were monitoring the site.
Yeah. Like a, I don't know if it was drone footage, but that drone-y footage kind of vibe to it. Yep. I think I know what you're talking about.
Kind of felt like it might have been really like classified satellite imagery almost, because it was so like it was from so high and they were able to get such a static picture and then track that orb for a little while. So I feel like it's hard to get it to do that and be so stable. But who knows?
I have no idea. But Grush is saying, you know, well, not Grush, but other people have testified, saying that they, what Grush is saying is, Colonel Carl E. Neal, claims, you know, his claim that an arm race of sorts with these crafts and debris and bodies and whatever, it, were fundamentally correct. Now, what do you, what would you, what do you think of that? Fundamentally correct. Like, he's obviously, he doesn't know everything, but right. This colonel is like, essentially, yes.
Yeah, and he's saying that he, I know he's not saying he saw these craft. He's saying he's got reports. Of course, that's what you would expect from an intelligence official. Mm-hmm. Is he's the one talking to the boots on the ground. He's the one talking to agents, gathering information, you know, doing this stuff. So I think when he says fundamentally correct, he's, I alluded to the fact that he was very careful in his wording and his language.
Right.
And so one thing he, and I think, In the interview I watched, they actually did kind of bring this up and kind of push him on this, but he calls it non-human intelligence. And the interviewer says something about alien. And he makes a very firm distinction here, and he says non-human intelligence, which makes me wonder if this is not some mechanical intelligence.
Really?
And not a biological intelligence.
Interesting.
He also alludes to dimensional travel versus space travel. Well,
okay, I have not seen that. But I am fascinated by that idea. So another thing. So Grush told Ross Coulthard, I want to say that's the pronunciation. He says these are retrieving non-human, like you said, origin technical vehicles. Call it spacecraft if you will. Non-human exotic origin vehicles that have landed or crashed, but some of them landed. That apparently, maybe some governments have possession of. Not just crashed vehicles, but landed ones. That is intriguing. Also, air quotes, dead pilots. So, if they're landed, where are the live pilots?
I saw an interesting, a couple interesting remarks about this, but it wasn't actually in regards to Russia's testimony, because these were older than that. And
okay,
older reports and older claims. We've had UFOologists around for a good while.
Yeah. Stan Friedman's my boy.
And there was a claim made that sometime in the, you know, in starting in the 40s, we started recovering things and reverse engineering. But by the 70s, there had been some understandings, or maybe treaties, maybe a treaty would be the right word, made, and active exchange of technology and intelligence. And what we were giving them in return might have been people. That we were giving them people, which is one reason why starting in, you know, the 80s really was not a heyday for abduction as much. Seemed like that kind of dropped off a little bit. But you have a large number of people go missing every year. And then I was reading, or listening to a UAP discussion where they interviewed someone who claimed, and this guy didn't put his name forward or anything, he claimed to be military. He claimed he was on a United Nations humanitarian mission in Honduras, and that he came upon a craft, and then American soldiers that were not military, but something else, maybe a private military, maybe a higher agency than he was privy to, took him and his men at gunpoint. And that is when he found out that the humanitarian mission was undercover, abducting people by the hundreds. Moving them to underground bases and basically offering people up on a silver platter for these non-human entities.
Wow.
So it hurts to, you know, if we just go and just believe every claim that's made, you know, that's kind of always hurt any credibility that UFO research has.
Right.
So I think it's important to make distinction between things like David Grush, who has a documented history in the intelligence community, mm-hmm. and who is coming forward and putting his name on this.
Yeah.
His
name is his career.
Yeah, yeah. And that's way different from anonymous sources and allegations, you know, right. made in the shadow. So.
And I mean, there have been people to back up his claims, a lot of which have not come forward with their identities, but a couple of which, like that colonel I was saying, Colonel Neal, did come forward and testify on his behalf, saying, yeah, what he's saying, fundamentally correct.
Which also makes me think that he has more information.
Yeah, and this kind of goes back into Kirkpatrick and Arrow, right? So they operate under a Title 10 authority, while other governmental agencies operate under a higher Title 50 authority. One of the sources I was reading was explaining, so the intelligence community with that higher authority feel free to stonewall Arrow because of their lower kind of being lower class and their, you know, Title 10, like fuck a Title 10. So, you know, whatever Arrow says, you have to understand also that they're not getting all of the information and whatnot that they really probably should from other agencies.
Yep.
They can't interview people properly. They can't find out what other agencies know. It's a whole thing. So got to take what Kirkpatrick and all of them say and know that there's other stuff that they don't know. Like, they're not the end all be all, which
and I that think was a lot of one people of the wish things
they were.
Grush, that's one of the things Grush brought to the table, was this understanding that he has clearance mm-hmm. as an individual, not assigned to information gathering about UAPs, that the agency itself assigned to information gathering doesn't have,
mm-hmm.
which there was one claim he made in his interview that ATIP from 2007, 2012, and then Arrow after are staffed with well-meaning people, but that they are intentionally being shut out. Like, they're given a mission that
exactly
that can't no succeed. One actually expects or wants them to succeed at.
Yeah, one of the sources from this article, which I'll get to my source in a minute, but the source, their kind of denial of non-human craft and materials, you know, this frustration, they say, the source, the denials coming out of Susan Goh and the Pentagon are specifically chosen to use Arrow as the source of information when Grush has, or Grush, I don't know. I think I've said it seven different ways. The way Grush has already addressed that Arrow didn't have access. So, of course, they didn't discover anything. Right. Because they couldn't. So there's that frustration. It's like you have this agency that you have put, you know, forth to like, okay, discover this stuff and we'll have hearings and it'll be, you know, to appease the masses, I guess. But they can't get to the bottom of it. So what's really the point?
That is the point.
Yeah.
Right.
That is the point. That absolutely is.
The appearance that we're being forthcoming.
Yeah.
Without actually being forthcoming.
Now, that comes from an article I read from Michael Schellenberger on public.substack.com. Go check that out. It's a super long article. It's got so much good shit. But do go check that out. Like you were talking about the conservatives, a lot of conservatives are behind wanting more information put out about this. And I don't even want to name, but Marco Rubio from Florida has said he's had several firsthand accounts from individuals in air quotes high positions in the government that back Grush's claims. And he says there are people that have come forward to share information with our committee over the last couple of years that he wants to be protective of. And so forth. A lot of these people came to us even before protections were in law for whistleblowers to come forward. And we're trying to gather as much information as we can. But like they're fearful of their jobs and beyond, which Grush has also stated that, yeah.
You would have to be fearful of your family's safety.
Yeah.
Right. We've really not delved a whole lot into conspiracy theory, but
we're getting there.
but you know, Kennedy, Jimmy Hoffa, like who else has been done away with, and could they do that to you?
They did that to them, and there's still, you know, these theories. But if they did that to us, like who cares, right? Like, nobody would know. Like, we would just be erased, which is horrifying. So,
I almost feel like that's where coming forward
helps.
Seems counterintuitive, that you're putting a target on your back, but also you're, in a sense, your physical safety would be greater. Now, career-wise, no, or a certain amount of maybe social ridicule at some point.
Yeah. Bob Lazar. Remember talking about him? Like, I mean, he's made an entire career since the 80s of this. Kind of being like, oh, I saw this, and I saw that, and I mean, you can't dispute it because how could you? But I also, nothing has really come forward from what he said that has confirmed it. So I hope the Grush stuff doesn't end up in that same kind of thing, like where it's just, yeah, in 2023, 50 years ago, this guy said this stuff. And yeah. But Grush went on to have, he had an interview recently with a Dutch magazine, and he kind of said that, like, his career's in jeopardy, or he has fears of his career and kind of beyond that, you know. But he also shared some other information that I don't know that he shared before, but he said that the government is withholding clean energy, which they could have been generating for decades, as well as climate change technology.
So I saw an interesting article about China. China has been cloud seeding during Pride Month for a while.
Cloud seeding? What is this?
You find certain chemicals, you crystallize them, you release them from planes. It's not necessarily like a chemtrail, but it's not far off. But you basically, clouds are water vapor flung to dust in the atmosphere.
Okay.
And I think silver nitrate or something is one of the chemicals that the United States government actually experimented cloud seeding with. And you kind of release this into the atmosphere, and basically you're putting dust into the atmosphere and attracting that moisture to form clouds. And then under the right conditions, then you can release something else to make those clouds then give up their moisture. So you can basically create.
Okay, interesting.
I read an article that China has been using to great effect sometime. But if you're telling me that the United States government would withhold clean energy, that makes no sense. Because that only lets rich people stay rich.
Isn't that what's already happening?
Poor people any. And that would be akin to a government like voting for PPE loans, hundreds of thousands of dollars, in some cases millions plus dollars,
right,
for themselves and their rich cronies, and not expecting them to be paid back, but then like taking it to the Supreme Court because they want to give some kind of debt relief to students, but only students making under $150,000 a year. So only to, you know, people who are struggling with, you know,
not just the average Joe. Surely not.
Right. That totally makes
sense. I mean, part of me wants to be like, yeah, that makes it, I can understand that. I can understand this, that they have this technology that they could employ at any given drop of the hat that would help humanity, not just American people, but the whole world. But I could see how lobbyists could get in the way of that. But at the same time, like, would that mean that big oil would know that there's this potential for clean energy or climate change tech? Like, then they would know. And then that would go somewhere else. Like, I feel like this has to be a tighter knit secret than just being like, okay, BP, we have clean energy, so we need more money from you to make this not happen.
So I start to get skeptical here with the clean energy thing. And this feels the main reason of
sensationalized. To get more attention.
Right. Yeah. I feel like maybe this is kind of, but they may have something.
Yeah.
But like a limited value or limited right now. Now that doesn't mean they don't, like, if they put that out there open source and let like the smartest dudes, the big brain,
right,
work on this.
Right.
That they couldn't develop it, because they probably could. But I have doubts that it is in play yet, mainly for one reason: military dominance. No matter what else we talk about, there is a need and a desire for military dominance.
Right.
And so the U.S. military, the biggest military in the world by far, the only military that can bring pressure on any given force projection, called force projection, that can project force on any square inch of the planet near instantaneously.
Right.
And it still runs on oil. So you know, if the United States military had these, oh, they're electric, but then like dubious, you know, where are they generating this power from? But they're telling you one thing, but then you know, I would begin to say maybe.
So to look at that, right? And I that's a great point that what you just brought up. But maybe I would counter that with maybe they're saving like that kind of tech for if something was brought to our shores, which I don't know why that would be like it could have been out of fucking Iraq years ago if they would have, you know. So, but the only thing I can think of is like maybe that's like the Trump card that they sit on for the time being because nobody else is. Clearly use theirs, even though Grush has said that. I don't know if he's actually come out and said that Russia and China have also such technologies, but this kind of arms race idea certainly insinuates that. And Russia certainly is not using theirs.
I do believe if Russia has something, and this is the next thing I... this is my bold prediction here to fail. You're going to hear from a Russian scientist soon about something. And here's why. They're leaving Russia in trouble.
Okay.
The economy is failing. Putin's stranglehold on the country is really weakened.
All right.
And like I have seen several articles about the brain drain and Russian scientists and how they are seeing every trick in the book to get out of the country. So I wouldn't be surprised if that comes out soon. Now here is an interesting addendum to that idea.
Okay.
If other countries, if multiple countries, and so, you know, America, Russia, China, but Germany is a technological powerhouse.
Italy has been in a lot of these articles saying that some of what we possess crashed in Italy. And not even here. So
sure, that makes perfect sense to me. I mean, they were like a forward arm of the Nazi army in World War II, and they were on the leading edge of technology. And it seems like throughout the entire history of modern UFOs, like they're attracted to these sites where military strength and technology kind of intermingle.
Yeah, I mean, our last UFO episode talking about those installations, the military installations.
The Malmstrom incident?
Yeah. I mean, right there. And it's crazy. I there's so many, you know, yarn threads that you can connect with a lot of this stuff that, I mean, still you're not getting to the bottom of it, but everything intersects and is just kind of amazing to talk about, really. To talk about Italy, I saw something else. I don't know if it was in that public article that I was talking about or if it was in a different one. But talking about test flights, about, I don't know if it was technology that we've developed from that or if it was that technology about, you know, us using these ships that are in our possession now, but I saw something saying that we couldn't fly them aside from one that we were able to somehow figure out how to pilot, but we couldn't do it here on in American land. It was either in Italy, there were two other countries that I absolutely forget, and I'm like, really? But then Italy came up again, like what we were just talking about, where one supposedly crashed that we retrieved. So that, that's,
you look at some of those prototypes, Nazis.
Yeah.
In the world, and they look like they were taken straight from the page of basic UFO.
Yeah, it looked like a human trying to figure out how that operated. Yeah, that is some crazy shit. And I mean, that was almost 100 years ago. What are we, like 80 years removed now?
Man.
We're old as fuck, dude.
These 6 years.
Yeah. And here we are with Nazis again. What the fuck is going on?
A circle. What if we are just repeating these same patterns until we as a society make the right choice? Like, there's at these junctures, there are like five choices that society could make, or maybe even two, like turn this way or turn that way. And we keep
be good or be
the
shit.
Wrong direction. Therefore, we have to can't get off this fucking loop until we make the right choice.
Right. And then I could only hope that actually is the case, because then that would mean that civilization at a certain point would make that turn to reach utopia, where everybody loves everybody and there's no hate and off to the stars, you know, exploration and for ever. Everything's great.
And sex with aliens.
Amen. but we are not there yet.
Creatures and porcupine men.
Oh my God. I need to freeze my head like Walt Disney, is what you're telling me.
If multiple countries, so say, I mean, there's like, 130 fucking odd countries.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I'm pulling numbers out of my ass. I assume have no there's idea. About as many countries as there are Division One NCAAs. but if you know, 10, that's less than 10%.
195, Dave. I just looked it up.
195?
Yes.
Okay, so if 10, which is roughly 5%, have these crafts. Are lying to their people. Because if I'm the small African country of Djibouti, and I have knowledge of these things, but I don't have them in my possession, there's not really much I can tell my people, right? Like, I don't have proof of anything. If I say something, I'm going to get blackballed on the world stage, or you know, I'm going to get invaded for my oil or something like that.
Right.
But so it would be on one of those 10 countries that have craft to really say, yes, we have this, and this is what we have, to have some kind of exposure.
Yeah.
As we get closer, it really feels like that I would want to be the last country to come. Right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because you know, every country that needs to come clean is going to have to justify it.
Yeah, yeah.
And kind of fall on the mercy of their people.
I mean, it's kind of like going back to the nuke discussion, right? Like, if you have nukes, then mutually assured destruction, right? Like, you can't come after us or we'll come after you. If you're the last person to admit you have extraterrestrial technology, you know, or if you don't admit it, like, while these other countries are admitting it, that's the same thing, right? Like, mad is not a thing you can do.
I would guess that there's so much spying that goes on. I would guess that, you know, the 5% of countries that probably have something. And here we are. We're just now assuming that 5% of countries have something. But if there are 10 countries that have something, I would guess there's so much spying that everyone knows who has. Maybe not the exact details. and maybe not a good understanding of what they've learned from that.
Do you think that, so based on that idea, like whenever a country, like say each country that has that 5%, right? They have reverse engineered something to their benefit that they can deploy. We'll just use war as the platform, right? When a country is desperate enough to deploy what they have made from that technology, is that really when the rug is pulled out and all is revealed?
I mean, that might be.
And because, I mean, what do you do? Like, do you say you don't? Like, say Russia does it, right? With this whole Ukraine business. And they finally are like, we're not winning. We're deploying this tech that just demolishes whatever. However it works. Does the United States, does China, whoever else is in possession of things like that, do you just stay silent? Or do you immediately, you're like, no, you will stop because this is what we have. Kind of like with nukes, right?
You have to.
Yeah.
I feel like that would force everybody's card. That that would force you to play your cards.
Yeah.
Because under your scenario, if Russia suddenly, Putin's shirtless driving a saucer on the battlefield, like everyone else is going to have to say, because otherwise, you know, what's to stop the populace of your country to say, game over, dude. Like you have to show a force at that point to say, and that's where, you know, like, yeah, I feel like that would tip the hands. Now, what if, and as long as we're just throwing shit out there, see what sticks to the wall in this discussion, but what if the agreement, you know, what if even downcraft that we've taken, the only reason we've been allowed to keep it is because there is this handshake agreement from this non-human intelligence and Earth intelligences. And what if that's like a stipulation? Like if you weaponize this, you can, you know, back engineer it and use it for energy or economies or help your people or whatever. But if you weaponize it, then we're going to have to intercede. Maybe that would be you from, you know, the question about the non-human intelligence has always been, I asked in a high moment 40 years ago, maybe 35 years ago, I proposed that there's really only there's really three possibilities for non-human intelligence coming to Earth. Because if a non-human intelligence coming to Earth, they are far exceed our technological capability. So there really are only three possibilities. They're going to watch and study. They're going to help us ascend, or they're going to exploit. Right? I mean, they're helpful, they're exploiters, or they're neutral. Now, exploiters doesn't mean they come in and start blowing up fucking monuments.
Right.
Right? Exploiting the human population could mean making backroom handshake deals with multiple countries and getting what they need.
Dude, like honeybees, right? Like, you don't kill the bees. Like, you just move them from where they are and then protect the queen.
You manage the herd.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And I mean, we're going deep into kind of our own conspiracy theory ideas, which is totally fine. But I mean, at the end of the day, like, we just want the truth. Like, something. Give us fucking something.
Stella and I watched a show earlier today. Well, I was watching it. She just happened to catch pieces of it with me, but it was about the the reptilian.
Oh, Anunnaku?
Yeah. And then, the Anunnaku are not the reptilians, aren't they? Those are the angelic beings, right?
Oh, I don't fucking find out. I thought the Anunnaku
You have the Anunnaku.
Were the center that of the are earth. Kind of, lizards.
Yeah, they're like the angels. You have the reptilians, and then the modern are the greys. And are they different classes of the same group? Or are they totally different groups? Maybe you have different groups. You know, maybe like the greys have sided with Russia, and the reptilians have sided with the Vatican.
That's a good thought that I've not
fighting really... a proxy war here on Earth.
Yeah, I mean, and we've talked about these ships, air quotes, maybe like you said, like maybe it's not organic being, maybe it's some kind of robot-ish kind of thing, some kind of mechanical creature, or the exact opposite of that. Maybe it's creatures of some kind that this kind of travel, interdimensional or light speed, whatever you want to say, maybe it's something like that, that they, it's just built into them how they operate, which obviously seems insanity. That doesn't seem like a thing that could be possible, but like they can just, their bodies work in that way. Who fucking knows?
Several years ago, I had gone down to rabbit hole with Alex Jones. Like, I was on this Alex Jones, it's not really Alex Jones, the fucking comedian.
Right.
And I went down this rabbit hole pretty hard with some people I worked with. Like,
you told me about it and blew my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but there was a prediction then, and that was probably 10 years ago, maybe. But I had seen a prediction then that was supposed to be Bible prophecy, but it was actually said that disclosure was coming, and it made a prediction that has long passed, like that time has passed, but they just got the time wrong. Although that's like how these predictions work, right? If the time comes and it doesn't happen, and you say, oh no, I just had the day wrong, it's next. But it said disclosure would come, and these alien ships, these ships would come, and they would appear to come from behind Venus and bring what looked like universal prosperity, but it would be short-lived, and that these creatures were not actually aliens, that they were demons. And so if we have this idea that if they are interdimensional, is hell a dimension? Is heaven a dimension? Are those just
curious. Like... Right. So
different dimensions. And is that what we're...
I mean, I feel like a lot of, as far as morality and heaven and hell and stuff kind of go, I would certainly be lured in by humanity prospering. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be like, I absolutely, sign me up. And then it's like demons being like, nah, fuck you. We fucked on you. I'm like, well, fuck, great. I mean, I would for sure be swept in by it. Like, humanity will prosper.
Some demonology in my UFOs.
Yeah, who fucking knew? I had no idea we were even approaching that. But that's a good point. Will we ever know? Will we ever know anything about anything?
There's a good possibility in our lifetimes that answer.
I am afraid that is the case. But hey, we're going to do, we'll probably do a UAP UFO episode, probably one every season. And I don't think we're planning on stopping Horror House anytime soon, even though Spotify wants to fuck on us. We'll keep doing our thing one way or the other. And so if it ever does, if more stuff ever comes out, we'll be talking about it one way or the other. And we'll be sharing it with you.
Whether they try to sign with us or not.
Yeah. Yeah. But with that said, Dave, is there any other things you kind of want to talk about? Actually, I have one other thing I want to talk about to kind of end before we hit a break and come back. So we've been talking a lot about the government and all of this stuff. I'm not going to get into the deets of it, but there was a Las Vegas kind of thing that happened in April of this year. If you want to check that out, it's pretty simple. There was a meteor coming down, and then some people reported seeing some kind of a creature in their backyard. Nothing ever came of anything. But there was a fake video that somebody put out there trying to show one of these creatures, right? And it was showed to just be doctored, you know, whatever TikTok kind of a clip. Which brings me to what I'd kind of like to end with, which is phones, TikTok, YouTube, and the ease of capturing footage now and releasing, air quotes, decent footage, or at least more footage, I guess. But you would think more decent footage. Like every year we have a new phone that has a better camera or some shit. So at a certain point, you would have to think, right, that the footage people are taking is only going to get better. And I'm in a certain way, maybe it has, but there's a lot of shitty footage that still is.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about, I mean, it's easy to fake stuff now. Easier than ever before. You could do it on your phone. In the age of where anything can be faked, like, how do you believe anything?
You know what? This is something that is very terrifying to me, and probably without joking, the most horrific thing that we have not talked
about. Oh, it's coming up. It's coming up, baby.
Deep fakes and AI and the blending of that. And, you know, how do you trust your eyes? Like, right now, they're really good. Like, you can, if you have some common sense and you really look at something, you can tell right now.
Yeah.
But that's right. Becoming harder and harder.
Yes.
So I don't know. I think something has to be done from a regulation standpoint to really, I don't know, very scary.
Once AI can kind of surmount that valley, the uncanny valley, right? Like, where do we go from there? That's super scary. And then the validity of anything, let alone UAP footage. What does that mean? What can that mean? What's true? What's not true? But when it gets to that, that's scary business. But we will talk more about that kind of stuff. I don't know our complete schedule right off the top of my head, but that is a IRL Horror House coming up this season. I'll say in the next 3 or 4 weeks, I'm pretty sure. Because there is some other AI kind of things that I am super excited to talk with you about.
We've played with some of the language models, the ChatGPT.
Right.
That is not the same as AI. The AI stuff.
Yeah. But we will get into more of that. Anything else, Dave, that you want to talk about as far as UAPs, UFOs, little green men, little gray men?
I'm pretty satisfied with what we've discussed here. There's always more to discuss, and we'll always get back in. But I would like to know Chris, in lieu of a movie rating, what is your plausibility rating specific to David Grush and his interview and his testimony? Honest or how plausible?
I mean, in a certain way, I feel like it's stuff we've heard before, unfortunately. I mean, which bums me out. It's always the same story. Like, this guy comes out, other people try to put validity on it, but at the end of the day, it goes nowhere. I mean, on that hand, I feel like I'm trying to rate it towards, is it getting us towards that end goal of finding out the truth?
Or is this another
clout chaser
making a name for himself, or intentionally trying to muddy the water from the actual?
Right. Fuck. Let's hit a break. We're going to hit a break. We will come back and finish this discussion in the whorehouse. We'll be right back. We are back to finish this conversation. I'd give it, a 7 out of 10. Like, and I feel like a big part of that is just me being hopeful. I'm a dreamer, Dave. I'm a dreamer. Spend my life in the clouds. What do you think?
So I looked very carefully at the numbers. I agree with you that this is... I don't think the things he's saying are actually anything we've not heard. There's no new claim.
Yeah.
He's still very careful to say that he has not personally seen these things, taking reports. I mean, that gives him the ability at the end of the day to say, I've been proved wrong. Okay, my bad. I wasn't just saying I saw this. I'm saying other people told me this.
We didn't really talk about that aspect of it. Was people coming to him with information.
Yeah. So he kind of has an out there, but he does have a military history on record.
Right.
He has put his name out there. He is it correct? Like, this could be damaging to, future job prospects. It could also open up things. I'm not saying that he couldn't make money on the circuit, but how much money is to be made on the UFO circuit? I really don't.
I mean, it ain't 1993 Sci-Fi Channel money, I can tell you that.
Oh. But I also found this plausible at a rating of 7. Gives us an average possibility of 7. So
I can do that math. I can't do math. I'd still be working on it. This whole business just seems like one step forward and two step back, right? But thinking of that, right? You're stepping backwards more than forward. So eventually you're going to have to step backwards into the truth, which is the profound thing that I've come across in my research. Right? Because eventually there's no way but that. And like we were talking about, it may not be when we would prefer, while we're living. But at some point, it's going to have to.
I would like to know something. On my deathbed, could a government agent come in and whisper?
Right. Like, he's pushing your children away, being like, I have to tell him right before he dies. Not you.
Aliens are real, and they were here for our nachos.
What if it was something like as trivial as that? and they told you, like, would you feel satisfied in that moment before you died? Or would you just be like, God fucking damn it?
Oh, I think I would have a hearty chuckle. Right. You know what?
I feel like I'd be pissed.
One of the most popular sci-fi stories of all time, Dune. Spice. Now, I know it's not spice like salt, pepper, garlic spice or Montreal steak seasoning spice, but it gives people powers and shit like that too. That's the only way they can fly across the galaxy is on spice. But we have fought entire wars over spices, and it's not outside the realm of possibility, I think, that an alien society could find something that is unique to Earth and be like, you know what? This coffee shit that they got, like, this is the real deal. Our people really love this, and we can make a lot of money on our home planet by sending, the Royal Navy to this other planet. I don't know.
I want to say that the 1990 movie Spaced Invaders, that was, they're like, there's three or four of them abandoned on Earth, and they discover coffee, and they're like super into it. I may be mixing that up with Devin, Jesus Christ, I'm so drunk. Devin Townsend, his Ziltoid the Omnipotent album, which is about an alien that's omniscient, but challenges Earth to provide him with their best cup of coffee.
Tell me what you've got. Maybe it's
or face annihilation.
Bad taste. Like, the aliens were abducting people for sale in their intergalactic fast food chain.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I mean, would you prefer a life of servitude to humans or a life of servitude towards E.T.?
I don't want to be cattle.
Hey, what's the benefits, though?
I don't want an alien milking me.
Well, if they're scaly, but like velvety, like we can
moisturize people are. Would an alien be offended if I called them people?
That's a good question. That is a good question.
Like, everyone in the alien ship right now listening and to a pirated episode of this podcast are like, whoa, did he really say that? So he said, woke, huh?
He said, fuck Spotify on a Spotify podcast? What? Yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
We're pirates, indeed.
Mr. Frank Spot is not ever coming on the show.
Oh, before we get out of here, Dave, if anybody wants to let us know their thoughts on what we've talked about tonight, or if they would like to be milked by a extraterrestrial present,
yeah, let us know.
Let us know.
Yeah, write some fanfic. Don't send the fanfic.
I'll read it.
Us know you wrote it.
Where can they send that? Not the fanfic, but the rest of it.
You could tweet us or DM us right now while it's still functional. If you haven't looked at 600 at Sweetness 1 or at Horror House 2, because there are two of us and there are six E's in Sweet.
You can email us horrorhousepodcast@gmail.com, or you can go to the Horror House page on Facebook.
You can hit us up on, sorry for a loop here, Chris.
I knew it.
Hit us up on Slasher, Horror House Dave and Horror House Chris.
It is a social media app for horror fans. What more could you want out of a social media app? Fuck Elon. Get on Slasher. And finally,
I
was pimping Slasher too hard. I forgot my line. Finally, do please rate us wherever you're listening, however many stars you think we deserve obviously all of them, if I was to read your mind, like a...
As many as there are stars in the map.
Yeah, because that's what we'd give you. Because we want to live in peace and harmony, man. We're super hippie like that. And last but not least, share us with your friends. Anybody you think that wants to have a little bit of a giggle, wants to listen to some dudes talk about some horror movies, or like today, some IRL horror, if you consider UAPs and extraterrestrials IRL horror, I don't know if that's horror. Sometimes it can be. Let them know. Let them know. Spread the Horror House word. We do appreciate it. But until next time, come back. We'll have a movie for you next week. Same cemetery, different grave. We are out of here.
Same ship, different site.
Ooh, that was happening.
Same probe, different world.
Same ass, different probe.
Hopefully it clean. All right, we're out.